Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long. So let's get into the show.
Oh, my God. It's late at night in San Diego. Jackie Cation here, Dork Forest. And my guest, who just worked, I just worked with him here in San Diego, Matt Stanton, owns a dog. And welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we just did a ballroom at a resort in San Diego, and it was warm. And the audience was perfectly nice.
They were respectable. They were all together. I wear long sleeves. I believe you did as well. May have been the wrong decision, but you're supposed to do that in comedy. Cover up those forearms. You don't want people looking at them.
Right, right. Unless you have amazing arms.
I do not.
And I do not. So I wanted to go with a different, but I had to try a bunch of new stuff. But so we were just sitting next to each other and I'm like, well, I don't have a guest for Tuesday. I wonder if he would want to zoom in. You have a tiny dog?
Yes. One second.
Hey, Godzilla. Godzilla, come here. Come here.
I would love to see Godzilla.
Yeah, and he wants to see the neighbor for no reason right now. Here you go. Here's Godzilla.
What kind of dog is that?
It's a Japanese chin.
A Japanese chin named Godzilla.
Yeah, that's my favorite Japanese character. So,
and that is what happened. That is how it all came to be. I was like, what would be your dorkdom? And you said Godzilla, that you had named your dog Godzilla.
Yes.
And it's a Japanese chin, which looks like a fluffy fur ball.
Yes.
A fur ball of a doggo. Yeah.
The famous people who have had a Japanese chin, Ozzy Osbourne has them, Debbie Harry, and then, you know, Tara Lipinski and a guy, they do the Winter Olympics, they're figure skaters.
Okay.
The gentleman has
one. He has a Japanese chin?
Yeah. I just don't remember his name right now.
He's not listening. It can't possibly, is that a Charlie Brown mug?
It is. The household has every character. You get them at a Cedar Fair, I guess, in California. It's Knott's Berry Farms. And then in Ohio, it's a Cedar Point. You get them.
Oh, there you go. And if people are watching this on the YouTube, you will see that behind Matt Stanton is one strand of lights, or what looks to be one strand of lights. Like it's like the Grinch has come through. And he's going to go fix a tree.
Yes, it's all the presents are gone. They're in that giant satchel. They're not coming back.
And they're not coming back. That is awesome. So let us talk about Godzilla. When you were a child, did you watch Godzilla as a child, or did you just like the idea of a monster?
I liked the idea of Godzilla. And then my dad was a police officer and didn't have cable, but they would have cable at the station. So when he worked night shift, he would bring a blank VHS and he'd put the tape over the thing and he would record 8 hours of movies. And they happened to have some Godzilla movies. So I had some Godzilla bootlegs. So eventually I got to watch them. But the idea of just a kind of a
dinosaur monster. Yeah. I like the idea that your father was a criminal.
Technically.
It was a tiny crime. And one I think we all did back in the 80s and 90s. We had a VHS early days. We had one of the first ones that had a VHS. The remote was on a wire. And so it was technically a remote, but the wire wasn't long enough to go to the...
I did not know that was a thing.
That was a thing. It was not great. It was not. I was more the remote. Go change the channel.
It would seem like something my family would do, because in high school, I still had a black and white television. Mm-hmm. And I graduated high school in 2001. It's just my family, like, we should get rid of stuff.
Right, right. They're just, it still works. Yeah. Did you want a TV in your room? And my niece... I remember my niece, who might be your age, they didn't have cable either. And she was watching Digimon one time. And I said, "What is Digimon?" She said, "It's like Pokemon if you don't have cable."
Yeah. And, I know about it. Yeah. And she is correct. That's an apt assessment.
It seemed, it really summed it up in one concise sentence. Okay. So, and then your parents got you a real Godzilla toy that was genuine, but might actually be worth money, or at least an original real
one. Yes, it's a legit, it says Toho, which is the company that owns all the rights. If anyone wants to make a Godzilla movie, that has to be approved by them, even a sequel. Like there's a newer one that just came out in Japan called Shin Godzilla that people really love. It's kind of a different take, but they told them you can do one movie and that's it. People want a sequel, but either way, that's the Toho. And they bought me this. I don't know if they really bought it or if they found it, because that's also against my... I had like 7 toys my entire childhood. They would get me a notebook and a baseball every year. And they're like, yeah, they're not, be creative and play outside. But this is one of the few toys and it is a Godzilla. That probably is the reason why I stuck with it. I still have it. I have it next to my television currently.
Well, there you go. And did they get you a bat at any point or just the ball?
No, just the ball. And I was actually a really good pitcher. So I didn't need it.
Right, it was all about the throwing of the ball. And so have you seen most of the Godzilla movies now?
I would say I've seen probably 90% of them. I think there are, if you include the ones only in Japan, I think there's 38 of them.
Okay,
so I've seen a lot.
So like I have a joke about Godzilla, and it's about Godzilla being the good guy, and he is often the good guy, right? Like he is some sort of misunderstood.
Pretty much
the mid interrupted with. Yes.
Yeah. Like the mid-60s all the way to the 80s. Mm-hmm. I would say they made and that's also when it shifted more towards kids. And I think that's when people started calling Godzilla cheesy, which I love it, but I can understand how it's a little like there's one where he's with a Ultraman and he dances and it's like, okay, Godzilla's not gonna just dance randomly.
Right. He's not a Yeah, don't forget to cough and feel free to cough. Because I've only seen, I've saw the one with Matthew Broderick, where all I got to see really was his foot. And then I saw the first one that was a series where he was in, I think, San Francisco. And we have, like I bought one year sort of like 5 or 6 of them. In a package. Which one would you say, like, if I was going to start some of the older ones, is there, like, what was the, and I know I've had other people on talk about Godzilla, but I can't remember anything about it.
If you want an actual good art, 1 second, actually.
Yeah, I might pause the recording so that Matt doesn't have to die. And we're back, you guys. Here's the good news. Matt lived. So
I did.
What were the early ones? I mean, I feel like it was all like an anti-nuclear energy.
Yes. If you want the best, like artistic one, it's the original.
Okay.
Which is 1954. And that's the basis of it. And it's very somber. And yeah, it's pretty much just like, how does the country react after having the atomic bomb dropped on them? And this creature was created because of this. And it's kind of like, if we don't stop or if the world doesn't change, this might happen again. But then science technically is what saves the day at the end.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I mean, the movie.
Spoiler alert, 1954. I'm not going to worry about it.
There's a doctor, but he is kind of selfless. He came up with something that destroys all the oxygen and water. But he knows, similar to the atomic bomb, pretty much a shot at Oppenheimer. Like, the fact that you created this, created all this destruction. So they lure Godzilla into the ocean. And then he himself goes down. And pretty much he kills himself, but he also kills Godzilla. And also, he's the only one who knows how to make it. So no one can ever do this again. So The original Godzilla is the most artistic one. And it's still the best.
It's still the best. And it is it, have you watched it both dubbed and subtitled or just dubbed?
Okay. Dubbed is atrocious.
Okay.
They made one a year later with Raymond Burr, Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Pretty much he was a reporter and he just tells you what's going on because they didn't think Americans would like, especially in the 50s, which with all the wars. He pretty much just tells you it's awful. Like they cut, it's like 80% of the original movie and then Raymond Burr just talks for no reason.
And so they took the original movie and then just superimposed Raymond Burr over it?
Like,
is that what you're saying?
Like he would be in a room, like he's a reporter, but he never sees Godzilla. He's just telling you what's going on pretty much. Where the other movie, there was actual action.
Yeah. And subtitles are fine, right? Because everyone can read, right?
Yes. But the goofy dubbing, that was later on. The first two movies didn't really do that. But once you start hitting the 60s and 70s, they would always have clearly an old Asian woman be like the little kid and to be like the most high-pitched, shrill voice to be these annoying little children. So if you want more fun, stick to the 70s.
Okay, the 70s Godzilla out of Japan are sort of the fun, campy ones.
Yes.
But the first one is the one that sort of has the real message of whatever we're supposed to learn from Godzilla.
Yes, there is an actual scene when he's rampaging where there's a mother holding two children crying, saying, "We're gonna go see daddy soon." Like in the middle of. Yes, essentially. It's like it's brutal. And then after he's gone, there's like a hospital scene, but clearly it's similar to what happened with the A-bomb. Like it's intense. But
right. Okay. Well, that's. I think I've always wanted to see the original one, you know, because I have seen parts of the Raymond Burr one, and I was like, I don't care about this because there wasn't a lot of action going on. It was just a lot of, I mean, I could have read the book, so it was narrative.
I have seen it in the theater.
Okay,
like one of the it was in Pittsburgh. There's a place called Row House. They do like five a theme. Or whatever, and they have old time movies. It was really fun.
Okay, that's great. So did you see the one where they were in San Francisco and that guy had that little boy that he had to take care of? Did you see that one?
Yes, I love that one.
Me too.
They debuted the trailer for the Super Bowl that year, and it's one of my all time favorite trailers. And I think the movie actually like held up. Like sometimes trailers don't hold up. Like Where the Wild Things Are From? Like that was one of the best trailers I've ever seen. Had like an Arcade Fire song. And I saw the movie. I was like, this movie sucks. But
that didn't work at all. And
but Godzilla it did.
Yeah, Godzilla it totally did. There was this other movie that I saw that I've talked about on this. I think it was called Colossal. And it was made. Yeah. It was Nacho Vigalanto, Anne Hathaway. It was an Anne Hathaway movie that essentially they wouldn't let, hello, I'm just showing you a white screen. Good for me. But Jason Sudeikis and Sudeikis, is that how you pronounce that?
Sudeikis?
Yeah, it's going to be Sudeikis. That's not going to be Sudeikis. I'm going to call it Sudeikis. did you know that I was in telemarketing? No. But
Sudeikis, that's like a Greek guy or something. Old philosopher.
Yeah, did you hear my joke about Dino Malloy? Anyway, so as a kid, I had a crush on in third grade. And but Anne Hathaway did this joke, this movie called Colossal. And it's a monster movie that no one would let her make. Like, she literally, after she had done like all the Princess Bride, she did a bunch of Princess Diary movies, I think that was her. Yes. And she took all the money and she produced this monster movie called Colossal, 2016 comedy fantasy is what IMDb calls it. But it is genuinely, it's like three different movies. It's so weird. In the beginning of it, she's a drunk who goes back to her hometown and she finds out that a giant kaiju shows up. Like, or not, doesn't show up, just like, there's like a magical, weird playground in when she was a kid. And they imply that she's a drunk because of what happened when she was a little kid with a kid that she grew up with who still lives there and has learned how to essentially control this kaiju from this tiny town. And it is the weirdest monster movie, and it is really funny, but it is also super dark and weird. But it's Korean. It's like half America and half takes place in Seoul. And
I'm down. I can get behind this.
Yeah, 2016, Anne Hathaway. I totally 100% recommend it. Saw it by accident. And because I don't like a monster movie because I'm usually afraid of monsters. But I like it. Do you know why, Mark? Because
they're scary.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, I haven't told anybody besides, I said that you do stand up, but what is your like Twitter handle and stuff?
Oh, well, I don't do Twitter.
Instagram?
Yeah, I do Instagram, just Matt Stanton Comedy. That's my website, Matt Stanton Comedy.
There you go. And that will be in the notes. And so everybody should go find Matt Stanton and watch him do stand-up comedy and follow him on Instagram. So
I'm releasing an album September 21st on Apple Music, so you'll be able to
get there it. You go. And yeah, so get in on that as well. This was put together so quickly that I didn't get any information.
Oh, I just appreciate it in general, so it's fine.
It's great. So do you have that the first one and that one that was, because the sequel to the new one with the guy who
ran too
was okay, but I didn't like it as much.
Okay, so I liked the 2014 one. By the way, there's a scene with Bryan Cranston in the beginning where yep. I cried the first five times I saw it. Just real intense when his wife, when he
can't have
his wife anymore. Very intense. And then the next one was King of the Monsters. The critics didn't like it. It was a little weird. But individual scenes are fantastic. And that's like diehard fan. Like if you see the IMDb, it's like critics 43 and then fans, it's like 88.
Okay.
Those kind of movies. And then recently, at the tail end of the pandemic, there was Godzilla vs. Kong, which is the third in this series.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. The day it came out, I watched it three times in a row. I stayed up till 4:30 in the morning watching it.
So was there an island? Did they end up on some sort of island? Is that how they met? How did Godzilla meet Kong in the third one? I did not see that one.
This one is, well, yes, they finally took him off Skull Island because a really rich guy was trying to get to the center of the earth. That's like occasionally they talk about it in the old movies, but in, that's pretty much where the Titans are originally from. They're from the core of the earth.
Okay.
And per usual, there's a really wealthy guy who wants to take that energy and become a trillionaire because, yeah. So pretty much that's the basic. He's trying to lure them in.
Oh, the monsters. He's trying to lure the monsters in for his own entertainment?
Well, just he wants to know where they're from. And once he figures out where they're from, he knows there's this material that he can get from there. And this is about the
unobtainium. Yes.
Okay. Yes, similar to that. With this movie, Godzilla is more just a presence, like the last three. Like, he's not nice or mean. He just does order. So whenever another Titan is around, that's the only time he's ever aggressive. Otherwise, he just wants to stay in the bottom of the ocean. And the fact that Kong is off Skull Island, he's like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be there. And that's why he attacks him.
Godzilla, the hall monitor?
Yes, pretty much that's what he's being. He's the king of the monsters and he wants order. He's very mad when things are not in order.
So I did not. Okay, so here's, I vaguely remember something about, so King Kong and Godzilla are in the same universe as Titans?
Yes, they're like one and two. Like, one does above ground, and Kong technically is the king of the center of the earth.
Okay.
But obviously he came out. So they don't explain that. I don't know why he's on Skull Island, but he was. But like in ancient history, Godzilla and Kong have always been fighting.
Okay.
Because pretty much they're like even footing.
Okay. Oh, as far as their powers go?
Yeah,
they're equal matches?
Yeah, but on Earth, Godzilla, that's his home. So he's actually technically better. But if Kong would be better in the center air. Oh, I know. This is the part where the dork part of the Dork Force really starts coming out. Like this,
you know what? And that's why we're listening. And that is why we've come here.
I appreciate it.
To hear about it. And who are the other members? Do we know of the Titans?
Other Titans? Technically, Mothra is one, which is one of my favorite. That's the... I guess the only
is it a giant moth?
Sort of, yeah. But it has a symbiotic relationship with Godzilla. Like, it'll help.
Oh.
And then there's Rodan, which is kind of like a bird.
Okay.
And then there are some other ones that I'm not going to be able to pronounce their names properly, but one, it's essentially a giant woolly mammoth. There's one that's almost like a stegosaurus.
What about the turtle that flies? Gamora? No, Gamora's a Marvel. Gamora.
I've only seen that one in Destroy All Monsters. So I don't know if there is a movie. Maybe that's the one I missed, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. It's a very spinny turtle that that breathes fire. I know.
I've seen that that GIF. Like, to send a text message, just randomly someone throwing the turtle or whatever. It's the only time...
I think it was part of the monster. I bought a monster pack of movies, which I think we might have sold when we were selling DVDs, when people were still buying DVDs. And we're now
a hot profit. That's what
there. Well, it's we're still buying DVDs, but you got to give them away now. There's no second spin. You got to just take them to Goodwill if you don't want them anymore. And I suppose you could sell them on eBay if they were fancy enough. So if there's really good scenes in the King Kong, because I think that actually I think is valid. If there are scenes in a movie, I was essentially raised to believe that if there's two or three good scenes in a movie, that's a good movie. I'll watch that movie.
That was that reminds me of my earliest ideas of music, because like when I was in middle school, grunge was big at the time, and I just thought albums only had three good songs because I had like Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains, and they would have three really good songs, and the rest I'm like, it's garbage. It wasn't until later I was like, oh no, it's just that one particular style of music,
right? Or just, I mean, some albums you listen to the whole album and you're like, wow, and that quite honestly is true of albums. If there are three good songs on an album, I'm psyched I bought that whole album.
Yeah, it's worth it. Good investment. Yeah,
for reals. But now people buy just the individual songs. But I kind of like the arc of an album. Like if there's a story, like that new Silk Sonic album, I listen to that whole album and it tells a story. And that story is absurd, but it's a great, I mean, I'm on board, and there's some good beats and the kids can dance to it. So it's the Bruno Mars, somebody else famous duo, called Silk Sonic. So I've brought music into the world into this episode. It all falls apart once I bring music into the episode. So let's move away quickly.
Okay. I'm the same way, because I like music that people probably maybe obscure people. Like my friends don't want to hear me talk about Tom Waits, but I will gladly talk. They don't.
Oh, okay.
They run away. Where I'm like, right, I understand. We can stay away from music. Totally okay.
It's kind of interesting, because I think that if you like Godzilla movies and you're sitting around, you also told me that like one of your favorite movies is The Shining.
It is my second favorite movie. I love The Shining.
Right, because it was because Godzilla was sixth of your favorite movies.
Terribly Blood, The Shining, Paddington 2, Paddington, and No Country for Old Men.
I like that Paddington 2 is ahead of Paddington.
It is marvelous.
What is the could I watch? I've tried to watch Paddington, you know, and I haven't been able to get into it. And what if I just skipped it with the Paddington 2? I know.
You'd love it. They're completely independent.
Okay.
You don't need to know anything else.
I don't need to know anything. I think I could catch right up if I just went right to 2. I think it would be fine. Paddington. And then, but here's what I do want to ask. What was the first movie?
There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Dad Lewis. Here's the thing. Daniel Day-Lewis's dad was the poet laureate of the UK, and he wrote mysteries under a nom de plume called Nicholas Blake.
That's the one part that kind of hurt me a little bit, because I don't know. I feel weird, like when rich kids are like good at like artistic things. I'm like, oh well, of course you could have done. I don't know. It's my own problem. I understand. No one else cares about this.
Oh no, are you kidding me? It's as funny as I think John Mulaney is.
I think about that all the time.
I was like, dude, you were raised in a rock tumbler. Look how shiny you are. But he's also made of bees, because I always judge like how people look on the outside to how I feel on the inside. Like I feel like a mess, and I'm like, but you look like you have your shit together, and John Mulaney clearly does not. He's as big of a mess as I am. So
that's I don't know, maybe it's too much of a comic joke, but whenever someone does something real bad, their next album or a tour is always like a picture of them as a kid. They're like, oh, look at me, I'm adorable. Don't remember the monster I grew into.
Oh my God, I have to look for that now.
Multiple people do it, so I'm not picking one person.
No, I just, I need to, is... I just love the idea of like all of a sudden it's Chris D'Elia, it's TJ Miller, it's Louis C.K., it's Bill Cosby. Just like everybody's tour is like,
yeah.
When I was 8,
I have a giant lollipop. So that's probably what it's going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Or they show a picture of their kid, because he just had a kid with Olivia Munn, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's still working out for him. Is what we've learned here.
It's that rich kid thing.
It is that, but
that's my bitterness.
Right, but Daniel Day-Lewis's dad, Daniel Dad mm-hmm. Lewis, he did not start out. He started out as a poor kid, ended up as the poet laureate in the 70s. And so raising Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't raised like fancy, but in the end he was sort of fancy, but not until like he was like in his teens, I think.
Okay, I feel better now. Thank goodness, because I do like, he's probably my favorite. Well, Kate Winslet's my favorite actor. I would say Daniel Day-Lewis is second.
You know, I took an acting class once and they asked who my favorite actor was, and I said Dennis Quaid.
He brings a lot to the table.
All he brings to the table are a couple of dimples. My acting teacher couldn't be more confused. She was like, Dennis Quaid. And I was like, Did you see him in the, just, yeah, it's the Big Easy was a terrible movie, but he was super handsome in it. And she was like, so weird. Do you want to be an actor? And I was like, oh, right. Oh, actor.
Not human. Okay, not I get just, this.
Not just a cute boy that I thought was handsome when he was in Breaking Away. Anyway, so Kate Winslet, and was she also in the Daniel Day-Lewis movie or no?
I don't believe they've done anything.
Okay, yet. What is that movie though? What is that?
Oh, that's the one. I guess the joke everyone did was, I drink your milkshake. He's the oil man. Okay.
I've never heard of it. I mean, there's so many things to know. And so is it a drama?
Yes, it is based on Upton Sinclair's novel Oil. And it's pretty much about a maniac, but he's a businessman. Sure. So people may not think that, but he's, it's very intense. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson, I guess, adapted the screenplay and directed it. It's really good. And they shot on location in New Mexico. And No Country for Old Men also shot like a mile away from each other at the same exact time. And they both got all the nominations that year. And there's this big scene where oil derrick goes nuts and catches on fire. But only because there's so much oil, like this, and Daniel Day-Lewis knows this, like it's intense. But when they shot the scene, the cloud of smoke was so big that No Country for Old Men couldn't shoot for a week because it was in all their shots. But their movie was about being in Texas, so it had nothing to do with oil.
Right,
so,
right. That's crazy. That is a weird fun fact.
Week and in trivia.
I never saw No Country for Old Men too, because though that is another full of tension. Those Coen brothers.
Oh, big time.
I think Paddington 2, not a lot of tension. Is there tension? I feel like there is when it was described to me.
It is the right type of tension. It's not like to be terrified, but you enjoy the tension that's going on in the jail.
Okay. All right. I enjoy, and granted, a Paddington Bear movie is going to end. We know how it's going to end. Paddington Bear will not be killed. But
will be crying. That's how it will end. You will know that. I've seen it dozens of times. Still get teary-eyed every single time when it finishes.
Man, I just want to watch Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade over and over again. That might just be my own psychosis. Those are really disparate. Those are very different movies, though, for you to be a huge fan of. It's nice though, because can you like on a Sunday afternoon, can you put in The Shining? You're like, I want to watch The Shining.
Yes, because I think that the complete opposite of who I am as a person, and Paddington is exactly who I am as a person. So that's why I think my movies are so on polar opposites of each other. So it's something I could never be, and then something that I can't help but be. So I think.
You are a South American bear.
Oh, you better believe it.
Brought into a fish out of water, Matt Stanton.
I know. You should see how hairy my legs are. You would agree.
Right. You are a bear. And okay. And then there was like nine other things that you were going to talk about. And I've kind of spaced them a little bit, but what would you say? For some reason it's getting late and I lost my train of thought. Godzilla?
I'm obsessed with the Ramones. They're my favorite band of all time. I don't think a lot of people say that. People say they might like them, but they are by far my favorite band. And I like all the albums, not just like everyone talks about the first two albums, which were written in the same year, like Blitzkrieg Bop and stuff like that.
No, okay.
I love the Ramones. That's my deal. I know it's music. Let's see. I believe they have 12.
And there's you're on board stuff. With all of them?
I would say like, there are two that are just, they have two or three good songs, but all of them have
something in it that draws you to say, I'm still a fan. How many members of the Ramones are there?
Well, there's always four piece. I think there's technically eight, but one of them only played one show.
Okay.
rotated some drummers, and then Dee Dee Ramone retired sort of to be a rapper. This is also when there was rapping Ronnie Dangerfield. It was the same time, late 80s. So then they got a new bass player for the last 7 years named CJ.
Oh, okay. So they're still out there in the world playing?
No, they are done. All the original members have passed away.
Were they tragically passed away? Did they end up rock and roll deaths, or just did they die with their boots off in bed surrounded by loved ones?
Three of the four had cancer surrounded by loved ones, and Rob Zombie, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Okay.
And then one of them, Dee Dee Ramone, did die of heroin. He was clean for 10 years, but then he tried it again when he was 52, right, and that didn't go so well.
That's the thing about trying it again. You're like, it's probably going to end poorly, and almost always with heroin. So it's something that you shouldn't
agree with that
in the first place. And seemed like a terrible idea right from the get. I did do an episode of The Dork Forest with Mike Kaplan about ayahuasca. Something that he thought was that he does quite a bit, or used to, and or at the, when we recorded, he did ayahuasca. He's a New York comic, Mike Kaplan.
Oh, with the Wise, I met him
with
once.
The Y. Yeah.
We work together.
Oh, there you go. You've worked with Mike Kaplan. Yeah, he was doing a lot of ayahuasca 1 year. And he kept talking about how it's okay to do it once a month. And I was like, is it?
That seems intense, but
it really did seem
I haven't done it.
I haven't done it either. And I'm okay with that. He did say that he thought that I would like it. And I was like, well, the idea of it makes me happy. The idea of checking out for 4 hours and getting to meet a dragon. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
What do you do?
I don't know, but it's a guided sort of meditation with a shaman person or you don't do it alone. You got to do it with usually go to, but Mike said that he went to a strip mall and and there was a shaman named Jim and Jim did a guided meditation of with ayahuasca and Maria Bamford actually currently has a joke about ayahuasca that because her parents were going to do it, and it is very funny.
Have you ever heard of the basketball player? He's retired now, but Bill Walton.
No,
he's from San Diego, and he also announces basketball games. And he's kind of a hippie, but he's a Hall of Famer, all time great. But he does those kind of meditations in sweat lodges, in the middle of Arizona.
Oh, like a peyote kind of thing.
So, yeah, I imagine this is the same realm of those kind of
right, because ayahuasca is from South America, I do believe. And peyote, of course, is from the local Native Americans, the indigenous peoples of this North America. And I don't want any part of any of it. It seems like, I'm sure if you're really into, but it's, for me, it just sounds like people who say if they run long enough, they get that high, that runner's high. I don't want that either.
Oh, so I will tell you, because I've started doing ultra marathons and I've been a runner my whole life, but I did an ultra marathon on Catalina Island. And at mile 27, I thought about my dog and I almost started crying in the middle of running. So yes, this is an actual thing that can happen.
Okay.
So, but I get it. It takes a long time to get there. So I can understand, be like, no, I'll just hang out. And
I'm a big fan of hanging out. my dorkdom couldn't be more hanging out. It's completely on board. We're kind of all over the place, but I knew that you had a Dork Forest in you. You'll have to come back and we'll talk about more things. But what are your favorite Ramon songs offhand without any prep?
Bonzo Goes to Pittsburgh is my favorite song. It's about when Ronald Reagan went to lay a wreath on a Nazi cemetery in the 80s. And some of the band members are Jewish and they were like, hey, what are you doing? But then the guitar player from the band was super conservative, even in the 80s, like way before like what it is now, but I feel like he would enjoy the people now. So he refused to let them call it. It had to be called parenthetical. My brain's hanging upside down because he refused to insult the president. That's one of the many reasons the band hated each other. Like they kept playing, they knew they needed each other, but
yeah,
they would constantly bump heads.
That is the way with bands where you're just like, all of a sudden you're four people that have to hang out together forever. And you're like, oh, I mean, they share a van. Sometimes they share a hotel room.
The guitar player stole Joey Ramone, the lead singer, stole his girlfriend and got married to her. Like, it's a lot of weirdness. The Ramones have tons of weird tension.
I think there was some sort of drama in the comedy world that was like that too, with Bobcat Goldthwait's ex-wife. Ended up married to like Jay Moore. It was a weird.
Oh, you are correct. I've heard, yes, I've heard.
I've been doing stand-up for a long time. That happened. It had to happen 20 years ago. I'm sure everybody's over it. Or no one is.
20 years of resentment.
Matt Stanton, I think it's close enough. I think it's been about 50 minutes. I'm willing to call it just because it's 11 o'clock and we both did a couple of shows. And I'd love to have you back on the show. But this was super fun meandering around to hear about the journey, the dork journey that is Matt Stanton. Your album's coming out this month, end of the month.
It sure what's is. It going to be called? September 21st. It's called The Man You See Before You.
Okay. And it's going to be on Apple Music. And it's at Matt Stanton Comedy, right?
Correct.
On Instagram. And MattStantonComedy.com for tour dates and other stuff that's available. San Diego Comic, good egg. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other out there.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?